You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, filling in for Rob Cesternino here tonight to recap tonight's Celebrity Big Brother 3 episode. It was a Sunday night episode. I don't know exactly what Rob is up to. He didn't really give me any clues what he would be doing here on a Sunday night. Luckily, though, Carson helped fill me in.
She must be busy eating kale.
That was what I think he's doing. But we are here to recap tonight's episode. So welcome and come and join us. Hang out as we talk about it. This was actually, I thought, a very good episode of Big Brother. And with me to do this podcast, of course, is Geneva. How you doing, Geneva?
I'm doing great, Taryn. Very happy to be here. I'm actually glad that it was a really exciting, action-packed episode. So looking forward to breaking it down with the both of you.
Yes. Also with me here tonight is Lita. How you doing, Lita?
Hello. I'm great. I do think that kale is one of the conventional Super Bowl Sunday snacks in the U.S.
Yeah. I mean, well, when Carson said it, it really made me realize. I was like, whenever I can't get a hold of Rob, I'm just like, well, of course, kale.
You could be watching The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, maybe. I don't know. I think that might be on too.
I can imagine, you know, that and Joe Millionaire, he seems to be very fond of.
Oh, yes.
Yes, we are here tonight. And seriously, guys, you're going to want to listen to this recap because seriously, it was a good episode. The announcer even says so.
Seriously, you don't want to miss this, no matter what game might be on another channel.
Can't believe he said that.
I guess they, you know, at least their self-awareness, right? Because obviously a huge thing is on tonight, but they still proceeded to put it in the schedule. I mean, I guess they know some people will watch because, you know, there are some people who might not want to watch it, but still for ratings, maybe not a good idea.
Do you think that they're going to, I was just wondering if they were going to have a house meeting and like tell them who won the Super Bowl. Did they do that on the last celebrity seasons?
Well, we already had the whole quiz about who's in the Super Bowl. Do we really need another thing?
You don't think that the former professional athletes want to be updated on the biggest sporting
event
of the year?
I'm sure they do. It's just wild to me. Like, could you imagine being somebody that's like going back and rewatching the season and then the episode opens with...
Seriously, you don't want to miss this, no matter what game might be on another channel.
What are you talking about? What game?
Game? Huh? Yeah, if you had no context, it would be so confusing.
Yeah. Not editing for rewatches, I guess. Carson later does explain it.
Yeah, they could say that at any point this season because the Olympics are also on a different
that
channel.
Is true.
The Olympic Games.
Yeah. Yeah.
I normally wouldn't refer to the Olympics as games. I just call them Olympics.
But some of them are games like hockey.
That's true. But you'd still call it the Olympic hockey game, right?
How'd you do it? Your skiing game?
Well, there's more than one game. So I guess it's just encompassing all the games that happen.
All right. Well, let's get into the episode here. I feel like now, obviously the events of this episode, I imagine most people are not pleased with the sort of end result so far. But in terms of like actual content in an episode, and, you know, versus filler in an episode that's making me tired and sleepy. I feel like this is probably the best episode of the season. Am I wrong?
I don't think you're wrong, honestly. Like, it was probably the episode I was most engaged with, not only because I need to be engaged to obviously talk about it, but I was actually like, sometimes, you know, I think there's an occasional zone out moment that I may have because, you know, they're just putting in stuff that I don't really care to see. I could just watch that on the feeds. So I was really actually happy about the content that they did put in this episode. I feel like they kind of told a lot of the story that was really important for us to kind of understand how this week is going to work.
You know, I certainly haven't seen every episode this season, so it really makes me feel like I didn't miss much if this episode, half of which was an HOH competition, was like the best television of the season.
Well, that's the problem, is that pretty much every episode has half of it as a competition. So
I thought
the HOH competition was much more palatable than most competitions. Usually I do feel like we got through it a little bit faster than we normally would. And I feel like just the format of the wall, it just makes a lot of sense for how they edit the competition. Now, normally we might get something like some flashbacks of what happened before the HOH competition. We speculated that maybe we'd see some of the Todrick and Chris Kirkpatrick conversations that took place the day of his eviction. I did not think that we would, considering the content of those conversations. And of course, we did not get those. But there's definitely more to talk about there in terms of Chris Kirkpatrick and his feelings about Todrick now that he's out of the house. But we can talk about that a little bit later. We get into this HOH competition, and it is the one that we started, you know, the other night here on Friday. And I thought it was very interesting. On Friday, Rob had the sound clip. I don't have the sound clip of Shayna talking about, getting hit in a certain place. But tonight, even though we rewound to that moment, she had different names for it. She said, she had...
That hit me in the crotch!
In the crotch, okay.
That hit me in the nani.
In the nani, okay. And then,
it went in my mouth.
Oh. Whoops.
Yikes. I would not want that in my mouth at all. Like, that would be disgusting to even attempt to wash out.
I can't believe you can say nani on network television.
Yeah. I've never heard that as a descriptor before
it's
in my
short,
life.
It's short for a different word that I don't know if I can say because I don't know if kids listen to this. But it's short for a different term for it. You just listen to WAP, Taryn. You'll learn.
I'm gonna take your word for it.
It rhymes with Dasani.
What? okay, somebody just said it in the chat. I'm still like, okay, maybe. And she described this on the feeds as well, that she got hit in the nani, and she had a big blue circle around her crotch for much of the rest of the competition, which I did that was the case. I'm sorry, Shayna.
What do we know what these consist of? Like, what materials go into these things? Doesn't seem sanitary in a pandemic world.
it's I almost went somewhere else. it's paint that is corrupted by viruses, is what you're saying?
No, I'm just saying it all seems unhygienic because I don't know what these mystery fluids are. And yeah. Now we're all more conscious of our hygiene, and I don't want strange powders being launched at my crotch.
Mm.
It's not ideal. And then it's also, they only like have limited showers too. So you kind of, that must have just not been ideal to have to wait to clean up after that.
Yeah. And just like, knowing that like there's a big circle around my, my nani might be, on television. I feel like I'd be like, I don't love this.
Oh my God.
You're drawing attention to a lot this season. You know,
I just,
bar and pooping.
Somebody's going to clip Taryn saying my nani, and it's going to make the rounds on the internet.
We know it's going to be out of context. They're probably going to quote that.
Yeah, well, what can you do?
That hit me in the nani.
I don't know what I'm supposed to talk about here. Lamar is going to go down. He's having trouble. He's a little too tall for this competition. And then Cynthia is going to go down as well. She says she's got the leg strength, but not the arm strength. And they both went out around when the feeds went up, and then it was a little while before the next person dropped.
The leg strength required to this challenge is just standing.
Pretty much. Yeah.
I don't think you need to be like, oh, but I have so much leg strength. I can't believe I lost. You're just standing.
You know, maybe they just don't stand enough.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Do they get Fitbits in the house?
I mean, like, I
fitness reminders.
I train my leg strength every night on this podcast because I stand for the podcast.
Yeah, it took me, I think, to realize you were standing the whole time. And I was shocked. I don't know if I could have done that, honestly.
Well, I don't want to brag, but it's all the leg strength.
Yeah, maybe you would be good at this endurance challenge. I don't know.
Could you imagine if I had to podcast like leaning into my desk the whole time? Like, okay, this is what we're doing.
That 100% seems like a thing that you would do, though. You'd be like, oh, I didn't have time to get my workout in today, so I'm going to do the podcast in a plank.
Oh, man, if I could podcast during workouts, my life would improve dramatically.
Maybe I
don't know.
It would genuinely, it would combine two very time-consuming aspects of my life.
You could just put, like, pedals underneath your desk and do, like, a spin class during a podcast.
A little
and
cardio.
Nobody would even know. Yeah.
It doesn't help. It doesn't help Cynthia. She's going to be out here. And then Todd is next. And, I did like, what Todd said. He said, I gotta stick in here for Misha, but, I don't know if Misha can buy me a new shoulder. So I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, Big Brother wasn't there when he needed hair at 26. So that was also a tragedy.
Oof. The hair was I thought a good touch, like the paint and the hairspray thing, which is essentially just like an air cannon. Like that's all, like we've seen that a million times. You can fit it into your theme however you want. The hair was unique and disgusting, but unique.
I just know from wearing like cheap dance costumes and stuff that has that kind of shit on it, like it doesn't matter how far away from your mouth it is, it will get in your mouth. And it will be so annoying.
Oh, it would, wouldn't it?
I just really, really would not want to attempt to clean. They are trying to make them suffer because clearly I don't know how long that would take to clean up realistically.
Yeah. Carson, we saw, and I believe Carson was the first person to do this, very cleverly uses the hair to wipe down the bars so that he has a better grip there. He was also better at kind of kicking the hair away from where his feet were. As you saw later that Todrick's feet are going to start slipping. And I think part of that is because he's stepping on hair. You got that. But then it's going to come down to Shayna, Carson and Todrick. And we're playing up this big rivalry, two groups, two sides of the house. It's coming down to this. It's Shayna and Carson, who she just saved with the veto, versus Todrick. And whichever side wins, it's going to potentially set the rest of the season on its course for where we're going to go, who's going to be successful. And Shayna, unfortunately, is not able to cut it. She's going to drop, and it's down to Todrick and Carson, the rivalry and the friendship that has started it all. And it all comes down to this, Geneva.
It does come down to this. And literally everyone is like, this is a chance for something to happen, or, you know, this is a chance to flip the house, all this sort of drama. They're really trying to build this up. But you know what? It's good. It's good that we don't have, you know, everyone working together. It's nice that we kind of have some sort of division. You know, there is a little bit of blending here and there with certain like individuals, but it's good to see that. But even I think, you know, Todrick realizes like this is kind of a point where he might not even be able to, you know, stay up there. So he knows that he needs to make a deal for himself, and he might not be able to save his own, you know, closest ally, Misha, at this point.
I liked that Todrick and Carson were talking about pride because it was very similar in that it was two kind of sweaty and colorful gay men standing around and being dramatic.
That's what it's like to be at the pride.
Yeah. Parade. It's like hot and like kind of gross. I don't know.
That's most parades though, right? Like it's not.
Well, exactly.
Specific.
It's just that it's in June. I don't know. There's a lot of 52-year-olds there.
Yeah, he was talking a lot about how he's like, you know, you would expect that I'd be able to easily, you know, beat Carson here, but, you know.
Yes. And I talked about this on the update when I talked about the HOH competition. I really do feel like it again came down to Carson with a better strategy. You saw that Carson moved both legs to one side of the squat blocker in order to lean his full weight, his whole shoulder and full weight into one side of the arms, whereas Todrick kept both feet on either side, both legs on either side of the squat blocker. And even though he was trying to lean to one side, he still had a whole leg on the other side. So he wasn't able to get his full weight over, and he was still using his arms much more than Carson was. And so he starts slipping. And again, this is such a dramatic finish here, as, you know, the ultimate showdown between Todrick and Carson, it's coming to a close. And of course, Todrick, true to his character, is going to be like, wait, okay, I'm about to lose, save myself. You know, which, you know, you should do in the game. And he does, he throws out a deal. Carson accepts the deal. Todrick falls. And just like that, Carson is the new HOH. It's the underdog has taken the win. He's going to flip the house around. There's a new sheriff in town.
Would you look at this. There's a new sheriff in town, kids. And things are going to start changing around here.
Things are going to start changing around here. We don't get this very often in Big Brother, but here we are.
With Todrick and Misha on the block, right?
Of course, that's the plan. Well, Todrick made a deal, but wow. Misha is the target, right?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Huge shakeup incoming.
Big shakeup. We even get the Schwisters in the pink bedroom. They're doing the behind closed door sellies. They're jumping up and down like, we did it. We did it. It's Big Brother, and we finally have something, says the audience, that we want. And they're celebrating, and they're going to take down the big bad Misha. It's going to happen. We're so full of excitement.
What could go wrong?
Shayna is so excited. She's hopeful that, you know, this plan will go the way it will, because it would be the highlight of her entire month.
Mm. Which is basically her Big Brother game, right?
Exactly.
Plus sequester.
Yeah. We're only 13 days into the month. I don't know if I have a highlight yet.
Well, this is the question. Is the highlight of your month the highlight of your February, or the highlight of your last roughly 30 days?
No, calendar month. You have to start over the timeline at some point.
Okay. All right. So they're celebrating. We get a scene with Todrick and Misha, and Todrick is like, I failed you. This is not me. I'm not used to not, you know, being there for the people that, you know, I said I would be there for. I'm used to coming through. And Misha's like, you know what, though? I wouldn't change a thing. I still would pick you. It's, oh, how sweet.
I'm so sorry. I love you. You did your best. I wouldn't change anything.
This is the power of storytelling, right? It's powerful stuff. Yeah. And it genuinely, though, like, story wise, it does set up what's going to happen next, right? That Todrick feels like he has failed Misha, and he's got to find some other way to come through for her. And in that way, I do appreciate the storytelling genuinely. But before we get there, we have to explain to Lamar again how the veto works.
This is, honestly, I'm sure, helpful to many Americans who are tuning into Celebrity Big Brother.
Yeah, I mean, if you haven't gotten it yet from the explanation they do every time it happens, mm-hmm. Luckily we also have the varying, like, Lamar, he's just doing this for us. He's doing this for the people. He is asking the questions that nobody would even think to ask. And he's coming at it from multiple different angles. He had Todrick explain it to him. Now he has Todd explain it to him. You know, next he'll hopefully get Julie to explain it to him, if he can remember Julie's name. And then we'll have so many different explanations. At some point, we'll finally have the full picture of how this mysterious veto works.
I think this is good strategy for him, because I think that he's smart enough to understand it after it being explained to him maybe twice. So I think he's just purposely going to everybody to just make sure that they know that he doesn't even understand the rules of Big Brother. So I mean, he didn't ever get him out.
He was in a DR and that like people were seeing his confessionals.
Yeah. He didn't know that that was on. He was like, that's for TV. I thought that was just, I thought we were just going in there to check.
Well, I mean, to be fair, it's like the same space, isn't it? How's he supposed to know?
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing for me is that, like, I'm production would love it if they would be asking Lamar. I guarantee you they are. They're asking Lamar, like, you really know how the veto works, though, right? Like, tell us that you really know how the veto works. He's like, how the what works? Yeah. Like, I feel like if they could get that soundbite from him, they would be playing it during these moments because it would just add to the greatness of Lamar. But I think genuinely he doesn't get it.
He is worried about saying anything in the DR because it might accidentally be on television.
Yeah. You know, well, yeah, he doesn't want to give up the game.
Yeah. People to know. I just want to defend him here because I think that representation for stupid people is really important.
All right. Well, so now that Lamar understands the veto again, it's time to let's go back to Carson and Cynthia and Shayna. They're talking about who they're going to nominate, who Carson's going to nominate. He says he did make a deal with Todrick. He's going to honor that deal. But he is going to put up the biggest threat. She's had no problem putting him up the last couple of times. So Misha on the block. And you know who else should be worried? Todd. He came for my woman. And so he's going up on the block as well.
Oh my gosh, that was so funny. But, you know, it shows how much love, you know, Carson has for Cynthia in this game. And like, even when, you know, the whole like fight went down, like, you know, he's like, Cynthia's fine. Like, don't worry about it. Like, you know, he is there to defend her regardless of what's going on. And I think it's great. I think it's awesome to know like, there's someone who has your back, and obviously Cynthia has always been supportive of him. So I thought it was adorable that he said that, but I was also like, oh, okay, his woman. Don't mess with Cynthia. Don't mess with Carson. Don't mess with anyone.
Go ahead.
Well, it was nice that we had like the parallel scenes of Todrick and Misha followed by. Mm-hmm. Carson and Cynthia, because it shows like it's like humanizing both sides of the house the exact same way. It was like a good mirror.
Exactly.
Notably, though, Carson says Cynthia is his woman. What does that make Shayna? It's a good question to ask for later, right? So we get to it's Todrick, and he is approached by Carson, Cynthia, and Shayna to make a deal. They're concerned about what he might do with the veto. If he uses the veto on Misha, he could save her. They would both still be there, but maybe they can make a deal with him. Maybe make some kind of final four. Maybe make some kind of deal where it's like, hey, just don't use the veto. And Todrick he's kind of torn. He can't really make a promise that he'll go against Misha if she stays in the house. So he wants to talk to Misha first to get her thoughts. And this is when his gears start turning. About what he could do to potentially alter the course of Misha's fate in the Big Brother house here, Lita.
Yeah. And I don't know how popular it's going to be for people to be giving credit to these people, because I think it's not what we want. But, you know, it's something happening strategically in the Celebrity Big Brother house.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing we should maybe get out of the way first here is that just like straight up strategically, this is an impressive maneuver, right? I mean, they go from being dead in the water, two sides of the house from the very beginning, to managing to flip an alliance against themselves. These are the kinds of moves that you remember years and years later. Bessie targeting Scotty. You know, Maggie getting to go after Howie to go after James, stuff like that. You know, it sticks because it's really like, oh wow, I cannot believe your enemy is right in front of you, and you went and you stabbed next to you. That's wild. So all of that, and the way that that it happened as well, there's definitely elements of that that you can be, I think, impressed with on a strategic level. The way that Todrick knew to approach Cynthia first and then approach Carson, and the barrage of reasons and pieces of evidence that he had, all of that is impressive, I think, on a game level. Now, this the part that I think most people are, I would say, less impressed with, none of that really made the episode. But I think suffice to say, without getting into, you know, too much feeds, there was a lot of personal attacks and inappropriate things that were said, lines that were crossed in the process of making this happen that were very unnecessary, not needed in this whole maneuver, and really kind of bring the whole mood down in terms of respecting it as a game move. Even if like this happened and it was like nobody likes Todrick, everybody's rooting for Carson and Shayna or whatever, I think that because it even kind of happened with Jackson when he did the move with Tommy, a lot of people were like, we hate Jackson, but like kudos, because that was pretty impressive. But I think, you know, on top of like, we don't love Todrick because of some of the things he's already said, in the process of making this happen, he said even worse things and even more things. And it is unfortunate, in that way. But, with all of that said, of course, especially from what we saw in the episode, still impressive move and potentially a game winning move for, I guess, probably Misha over Todrick at this point, considering the jury management situation here, Geneva.
Yeah, I mean, I guess unless for some reason, like, it's, you know, it's like Todrick is there not with Misha, I don't see necessarily how it really helps Todrick. It's really helping Misha, because as you've said, like, basically was dead in the water, especially considering she nominated, you know, Carson more than once at this point. So I think that though this is his way to at least shift the game in his favor, even though he doesn't have the physical power. And I think it was smart. I think he approached it right. He knows Cynthia and he understands how she operates and understands that, like, you know, if he spoke to her one-on-one, then it would be like, okay, then we could go to her together, you know. But of course, I was a little disappointed with Cynthia in terms of not being able to be like, okay, I was told this information and I realize that basically Misha and Todrick, in a sense, both, even though Todrick is safe, have their back against the wall and are trying to keep Misha here. So they could be literally saying anything to ensure that she stays. And so I really kind of wish that she reflected, talked to Carson about it, and talked, you know, to basically to Shayna about it and be like, what did they say? What did you say? But like, as we saw with the conversation, it didn't really go well.
Yeah. And if you want like a very detailed sort of, you know, reenactment of what happened on the feeds, as well as some of the more personal stuff that was said, you can check out the live feed update I did this morning. We kind of went into more detail there. This really, I think, shows the power of social reinforcement, and it's something that Todrick understood. And it's something that even Carson, sort of told us in the diary room later, which is that Todrick knew to go to Cynthia. He went to Cynthia, he gave her the whole spiel, and he knew which buttons to press with her. He got her on board, and then with her, she helped introduce, right, Todrick to Carson in that way, right? Like, she was like the credible person to be like, hey, meet my friend Todrick. He knows what he's talking about. You should listen to what he has to say. And with that credibility, Todrick is able to go into his whole thing. And if he had just cold approached Carson with this, I think Carson would have laughed him out of the room. I mean, in a subtle way, because that's not really Carson's style. But he's done that before when Todrick has tried this with him before, and it did not work. But with Cynthia there to back him up, and then as Carson tells us also, you know, Misha also is there saying the same thing. It's like, well, if it had just been Todrick, but because it's so many of these people, that I kind of have no choice but to feel like I believe them. And of course, what they're selling here is that Shayna is a double dealer. She's been playing both sides. And the main exaggerations, because she was playing both sides, as she says, the main exaggerations are that she was a driving force to get them to Todrick to target Carson, which we know has always been Todrick himself here, Lita.
Yeah. I think that's probably the crux of like Shayna's frustration here is that she can't even point to anything as like a direct lie. It's all the, you use the word exaggeration. They're exaggerations, not fabrications. And that's way harder to fight when you have a bunch of people saying, well, did you do this? Yes or no. And you kind of have to be like, yeah, but they don't want to hear it. So I can just imagine her frustration here.
Yeah. I mean, it's built on real things, you know. Shayna, she lied to Carson and Cynthia about her vote week one, and then voted Teddy out, apologized for it afterward. She was playing both sides at that time. She did then choose a side, and she saved Carson, sacrificed her closest ally to do it, and drew a line in the sand. And, you know, all of those things are kind of like the facts of what happened. And what Todrick was able to do was take those facts, exaggerate the bad points, twist the good points by saying, well, yeah, she saved you, but she sacrificed her closest ally to do it. If she could do that to Chris Kirkpatrick, imagine what she would do to you if she found you less useful. And he said to Cynthia, you would never turn on Carson the way that she turned on Chris Kirkpatrick, right? And Cynthia was like, never. And so he twists the good parts, he exaggerates the bad parts, and then he makes up some key lies, just straight up like, this was not true. She never pushed them on Carson. She didn't want them to go after Carson because she wanted them to be at war for as long as possible. But by making that one lie in a sea of truths and exaggerations, it's very difficult for her to deny it while she has to admit so many other things, but say those qualifications on them. And she's not prepared for any of this. And ultimately, this ends in disaster here for Shayna, Geneva.
Yeah, it really does. And it got to a point where, you know, Cynthia did not want to listen. Cynthia did not really understand, you know, where she was coming from. She's like, okay, well, if you did all these other things, this doesn't really show that you've been working with us, you know. Like, and even Cynthia's like, we've been protecting you, which was a little weird to me in a sense, because I was like, well, Shayna's been the one winning the competitions and she literally protected Carson by, bringing off Carson off the block, but also in a way protected Cynthia too, because she risked her own ally and let Chris Kirkpatrick go home to save Cynthia so they could all move forward as a team. So I think it's really, like you said, like the way that Todrick had framed the whole situation ultimately kind of led to this, you know, fracture in this group, when ultimately, literally, it's the same story. It's just that it's just not being heard in the right way. But then it got even crazier because then Cynthia's like, well, you should go to Misha and Todrick and like say this in front of them, like that, you know, like what happened, what took place. And so, but then Shayna doesn't feel comfortable really doing that. And, you know, it kind of just gets to this point where she's just like, you know, I guess if I have to go on the block, I have to go on the block. But it's, you know, it's kind of sad because it's like, even though, you know, Shayna was playing both sides, she does, you know, make it clear. She literally drew a line in the sand. She really is trying to work with them, but now they're not hearing her out and they're not all communicating. It's just kind of like not being really processed. It's just like, oh, we hear that you were playing both sides. You're a snake. We don't trust you. You know, we've been trying to work with you, but it's, you know, it's kind of beyond repair at this point.
Yeah. Cynthia really wanted to hear Shayna say to Todrick and Misha's face, I never once said you should target Carson. And she unfortunately like doesn't really do that in this moment. She says, what are you talking about? I was never in a Final Four with you. We never had a name. And they say like, well, you don't need a name to have an alliance. It doesn't have to be named to be an alliance.
To be fair, she may not know that.
Yeah. She says like, what do you say? You guys are the ones that have wanted to go after Carson this whole time. And I don't blame her. Like in the moment, she's not prepared for this. She doesn't know what she needs to say. But I think from Cynthia's point of view here, it sounds like she's dodging the question. And then she says, you know what? Screw it. Like, if you believe this, if you really believe this, just put me up anyway. And she walks out. And as we talked about on the update this morning, as soon as she walks out, it really just all crumbles in on top of her. And then Todd gets in on it and they just start talking endlessly about all of the ways in which she is definitely a liar. And they're able to take what little she did say to bury those points so that she can't use them again. It is not looking good for Shayna here, Lita.
That's so sad. It's just like when you have I think for her, it's even worse because I think on some level, Cynthia and Carson had a predisposition to already believe this, just because like Carson says something about like all the puzzle pieces are coming together. Like
a Scooby-Doo episode.
Yeah, sure. They take off the mask and it's a Shayna mask and underneath is still Shayna.
If it wasn't for you meddling Todricks,
yeah,
I would have gotten away with it.
Yeah, like it just doesn't really make sense to like see Cynthia as this. I mean, to see Shayna as like this great mastermind. So I think Carson and Cynthia were a little bit predisposed to already believe this, which at that point, Shayna's already put on the defense. She doesn't have a single advocate. At least from what we saw in the episode. And it's just frustration. I think at that point you realize that nothing you can say is going to change this. So I would shut down in that situation too.
Yeah. And I mean, the irony of it all is that had Shayna just continued to play both sides, she probably would have been fine. The problem is that she did choose a side. She chose Carson and Cynthia, and she even drew a line in the sand publicly, outed her own position and sacrificed her own ally for the betterment of that team. And that is what made her look shady. That's what allowed this. That's what opened the door for this to happen to her. That's wild because that's certainly something that you would see that you see in the Big Brother house. But I also feel like it's something that, I feel like probably a lot of people have experienced in real life before, where it's just like, by not wanting to like be, you know, play the politics game in the office or something, like just trying to be me and be like nice to people, and play for the team, I'm getting screwed over because there's somebody else is in here, like, whispering in somebody else's ear, even though they're not doing any work, right? This is how these things work sometimes.
Yes, as with every reality show, children, the lesson is always lie.
That's the lesson.
I mean, unfortunately, you know, Chris Kirkpatrick didn't do that, which kind of led to him disappearing, being evicted. It was also crazy to see how like Todrick was literally standing on the table listening, trying to like listen to the situation.
Yeah.
And going upstairs and all of that sort of stuff.
Can we not stand on tables? I just feel like
wow,
it's not
Taryn,
a great place.
You sound really boring at parties.
Taryn doesn't have time to go to parties. He's spending time watching the Big Brother Life.
But standing on tables is part of standing, which is how you got so strong.
No, listen. You have no standing ground here to talk about my social life. The only reason any of the three of us are here is because we're the only people that were available this Sunday night during the Super Bowl.
Wow. Rude, Taryn.
I see how it is. You see that one is here. Okay.
We have a thing, actually. I have to go.
I actually had something, but, you know, I was like, Celebrity Big Brother.
Mm.
Is key. It's important. We gotta talk.
Yeah, me too. I also didn't go to
me
a party
also.
That I was invited to. Mm-hmm.
I had to turn down so many plans.
So many parties.
Oh, so many.
Yeah. And they were relying on my leg strength too, so it's you know, it's a bummer for them.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
What are you gonna do?
Will somebody tell us when the Super Bowl ends?
Is it not over yet?
No.
I don't think so. I think there's still a little bit left. Unfortunately, halftime show basically started as the episode started, so not able to catch that. But
Taryn, do you know who is on the halftime show?
Eminem. Maybe Kendrick Lamar. Somebody said Kendrick Lamar is better than Big Brother Lamar in my chat. I don't know. The two other rappers. These people said rapping legends.
Yeah, Dr. Dre, Mary J. Blige, and 50 Cent. It was a whole thing.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch it later. Should be good.
There you go. Are they all inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? That's the real question.
Oh, I don't know.
Just Eminem?
I don't think so.
Nobody's explained that to me yet. I don't understand the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I feel like Eminem is not a rock and roller.
No, they just do. Neither is Dolly Parton, as far as I'm aware. It's just musicians now, especially because nobody really makes rock and roll anymore. And oh my God, don't get into my mentions at that concert. I don't care.
The amount of band names.
Oh my God. I just want to get ahead of that. I could not care about anything less than who is currently making rock and roll music.
A series of 7 tweets filled to the character limit with rock and roll bands.
You're offending so many people in the live chat right now.
I don't look at that.
All right. Well, the plan works. And Carson and Cynthia are flipped against Shayna. However, the plan is for a backdoor to happen. And Misha and Todd are still going to go up on the block. And that's what we're going to see in the nominations. But the plan is to backdoor Shayna. If she does not either play or win in the veto. And that's, you know, an interesting choice considering that there's still a lot of time before the veto competition and ceremony, time for Shayna to potentially turn this around. But for right now, as of this episode, it is definitely not looking great for Shayna here as, she kind of just like, what are they talking about? This is absolutely ridiculous. I was like, I felt Shayna in that moment because that's how I feel watching Big Brother sometimes. Like, what? this is absurd.
How are they believing this? It's like ridiculous. I feel like Shayna's argument made a lot of sense too. I mean, obviously, like, you know, an argument was twisted and used against her. But you know, Carson did say that he's not a fan of the back door that much. So maybe that will work in Shayna's favor. Then Misha will go.
So many jokes to be made about Carson.
Carson is still great. I mean, even though this is one of the most boneheaded things I've seen on Big Brother, I still enjoy Carson.
Yeah. He's very funny. I liked him throwing shade when Misha didn't come to see his HOH room, which, yes. You know, is she's saying like, I'm just being real. Like, I'm not going to be fake. Mm. You're being a bad sport. This is just a thing that everybody does and you just do it.
I feel like I talk about this all the time, but I don't understand why so many people equate being polite with being fake.
Yep.
Right? Like, how is that that's not being fake. That's just being impolite. Cause it's not as though Carson is this like really terrible person who has made Misha's life a living hell and said awful things about her. And she will not dignify him with being polite to his face. This is just a guy that is against her in the game and won the competition. Like, you don't have, if you are telling me that it would be fake to be polite to him, I think that tells a lot about how you are viewing him right now just because he beat you in a game.
Yeah. Can you imagine just being an adult and like finding out that like somebody that you know doesn't like you and you're like, wow, and they were polite to my face. They're such a liar.
No, like, fake.
Like they said thank you when I handed them something. Ugh, what a liar.
I love the way that Carson handles it though in the DR with the kale comment.
She must be busy eating kale.
And then they show her with cards.
It's such a Carson insult to kind of like to not really even go after her. Just, oh, she didn't show up. She must have been busy eating kale, which is like not a huge dig, just a little bit of a dig, right?
Yeah.
Just like Rob Sesternino eating kale.
He's always doing that.
Oh yeah.
I don't know why.
I mean, that's why he's not here. So,
I mean, look, this is what happens when Rob is not hosting a podcast. You get the real truth from the podcast. You know how there's a start time to every podcast, and then usually we're like we're a little late, a few minutes, 5 minutes or so. Rob likes to say, oh, I'm getting sound bites, or maybe it's, somebody else's fault. There's somebody where technical issues. No, it's all a lie. What he's actually doing is stuffing his face with kale, every time. And we have been silent about it for too long. The truth needs to come out. Rob is a kale problem.
Sound bites, more like kale bites, bites of kale.
Yeah, and it needed to be addressed, Taryn. So I really appreciate that you brought this to everyone's attention, because it is a dramatic thing. I mean, it literally caused him to leave his own podcast.
Yeah, and I'm doing this for him. It's for his own good. I just want him to get better, and hopefully there are no professional ramifications from this. But I just couldn't hold my tongue any longer.
The Super Bowl just ended. Do you think Rob is going to come in here and defend himself?
As what does the Super Bowl have to do with it?
I doubt Rob is even.
Did the world run out of kale?
Sorry, I forgot.
Yeah, what is he defending himself about?
This intervention that Taryn's staging.
Yeah. All right. Well, hopefully we can get all of that sorted. But
Taryn, do you want to guess who won the Super Bowl? Do you know what teams they are?
Are we? I don't know if we're allowed to spoil it. Is that spoilers? Oh, okay.
Yeah, let's not.
That would be insane to get spoiled on the Super Bowl.
On a Big Brother recap podcast.
Well, also just like you're on the internet during the Super Bowl. Like you're going to get spoiled. Who's recording it for later?
We are tomorrow. So they're going to be very disappointed when they see the spoilers.
That's deranged.
Right. Here's what I want. If there's even one person listening to this podcast that's like, thank you, Taryn, for not spoiling the Super Bowl, I want you to tweet at me at Armstrong Taryn and thank me. And then I'll know that I did the right thing. If nobody tweets that at me, then I'm going to be like, you know what? Should have just spoiled the Super Bowl.
Taryn, that was a heck of a dodge getting out of naming the two teams that are in the Super Bowl. You really took us on a long walk there.
But then typically, if people don't want to know what happened with the Super Bowl, they just need to stay off social media. They just need to mute the hashtag. Like, you know, all
is everybody tweeting with the Super Bowl hashtag so that people don't get spoiled?
Hashtag Super Bowl.
I'm sure that is probably is trending. So
my entire timeline is watching Euphoria right now. So
that's something I have to watch next too. Another show.
We also won't spoil that. I'm going to spoil it for you. Rue is having a hard time. Uh-oh. Wow. Sorry, guys.
Okay.
Whew, God.
Why would you spoil that?
I'm sorry. I couldn't help myself.
I was so good
with the Super Bowl. I just had to spoil something.
Sunday night programming. It's dangerous.
Okay. There's a lot of programming on Sunday. So it's hard to keep up with. I'm going to have a lot to watch tomorrow. Let's just say that.
Well, that's what we have for the episode. Misha and Todd on the block. But we will see what happens next. Todrick says, I did it. I pulled it off. I think this is the move I needed for my resume to get the win. I think he might be a little bit unpleasantly surprised by this, but things happen.
Yeah, he has a good resume, but if you tank the interview, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It seems like that's more his problem.
Yeah. Anything else from the episode that we want to bring up? I think we do have some questions that we can talk through, but did you guys have anything else you want to bring up?
Is it common knowledge that Carson like is a horse guy? Because he had a bunch of pictures of his horses.
He did have a bunch of pictures in front of horses. Yeah. And you know what else I noticed? Sometimes people have these, sometimes people... He's got a picture face. He's got the same smile on in every picture.
Do you have a picture face?
I don't think so.
Okay, because you don't allow photos to be taken of you.
Yeah.
Only, you don't have a picture only, face in that your face only is about not in 30 pictures.
Only 30 per second. Otherwise, no.
exactly. well, it just was something that jumped out because I had just watched the trailer for Nope. So I'm on high alert with regards to horses.
Oh, boy. I haven't watched the trailer for Nope yet.
Not yet.
Oh.
All right. Well, let's pull up some questions here. Let's see here. We got one from Heidi Ho. Do you appreciate Todrick's game more now that we know he is at least owning his game in the diary room? I do think this is a good point, that it is something I thought of while watching the episode, that it was really just, again, like, what a missed opportunity if he was just like a nicer person in the house. Like, this would be fantastic because he is owning up to what he's doing in the diary room. Not only is he doing that, but he's doing something that I really like when it comes to the game, which is that he is explaining the method with which he is going about doing this, which a lot of people aren't able to do because they kind of just, they're just throwing stuff at the wall and sometimes it sticks and they're like, ha, I did that. But I really did appreciate the way that he explained himself in the diary room. But Geneva, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I do think it's really important, at least for me, as someone who loves strategy, to kind of hear people owning their game and, you know, not being afraid to shy away from it. And, you know, I do appreciate that Todrick is really trying to bolster his resume and is, you know, kind of guiding us through, gave us that story, told us, like, what his thought process is, like how he wants to be able to save, you know, his closest ally, but knowing he hasn't won the competitions to help, you know, save her. So I think he's doing a good job with that. But that being said, I'm also, of course, not a fan of some of the other things he has said that were not necessarily shown, you know, in the edit. So like sometimes it's like if you take personal and mix it in with gameplay, I think it's a little bit less respectable to me. But I do appreciate, you know, how much effort he is putting in this particular, you know, nomination week as Carson as HOH to save, you know, as much of his allies as he can.
Yeah, so someone in chat said, like, would have been nice if he had owned up to the personal attacks. That would have been nice.
Can't admit guilt like that, I think.
So we have another question here.
That hit me in the nani.
From Nani. Would it have made a difference if Misha went to Carson's HOH room? I guess this strategically, does this matter? And I mean, I guess this week kind of proves maybe not, right, Lita?
Oh my God, it doesn't matter. No. Like, what difference would it made? Misha got exactly what she wanted. Yeah. So it would have hurt. Because she would have been being fake. I don't know. But I was just going to ask, Nani asking that question reminded me, are you going to call it the Nani Nation ceremony when Shayna gets nominated?
No.
I can be her fans. Hashtag Nani Nation.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
We'll have to ask her about that.
She'll love it.
What a fandom.
Okay. All right. Next question from Jordan. Do you think having a live veto competition will affect things with there being less time to strategize after? Geneva, what do you think?
I feel like in some cases it can always affect things, but I think, I don't know. I don't think it will. I think whatever happens before, you know, before the veto will probably be most likely what's going to happen. I think maybe there may be a potential change depending on who wins veto, but otherwise I think it's probably going to be fairly set in stone, and that there probably isn't going to be a lot of confusion at that point.
Yeah, I think the big thing here is that you know, when the veto is live, it's played live, the ceremony is live, there's a lot less time to change set plans, so you need to make those plans earlier, which I think is a good segue to get us into the spoilers for today. I don't think we'll have too much here for you, but we will we'll get into spoilers here now. And here is the spoiler song.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
All right. Okay. Spoilers are in session. It's time to talk through the spoilers. Here are the spoilers. There's not really much to update you on.
Is this where I spoiled the Super Bowl?
This is where everything gets spoiled.
We can spoil everything. Euphoria.
Wow. I saw the Spider-Man movie finally. So everybody listen up.
Unfortunately, through the day so far, Shayna has not managed to make much progress with Cynthia and Carson. The plan is still to take Shayna out of the game if she does not win this veto. The only real thing of significance that has happened is that Carson and Misha had a talk and really only further solidified their deal. He asked Misha if he takes her down off the block, will she agree to not target him in the following week? And she agreed to that deal. And so Carson and Cynthia are thinking about, like, this could be it. This could be our final four. This could be how we make it down to the end. And in the meantime, you know, to my knowledge, Misha and Todrick are still like, yeah, so we're getting Carson out next week, right? Like, this is going to happen. Unfortunately, not much to update you on in terms of progress from this episode. This episode is one of the most, like, up-to-date current episodes I've seen in a long time of Big Brother. Like, this is stuff that I updated this morning on the update, and there just hasn't been a lot of movement since then. The big thing for me, especially regarding this live veto competition, is with this kind of new understanding and deal in place, let's say Shayna does get picked for the veto. Let's say Shayna does win the veto. She chooses not to use it. Do Carson and Cynthia still vote Misha out, or do they vote Todd out? I know that Carson doesn't have a vote, but with Todrick and Cynthia, Carson would break the tie. Do they then take Todd out in favor of keeping around their new kind of group? Like, hey, we're keeping Misha. We have a deal with her. She's not going to come for us. They've got, like, we're going to go after Shayna next week. As far as I'm aware, that still hasn't really been talked about, planned. But it is something that could come up in the midst of a live veto if Shayna wins. And that could lead to some excitement, I think. But for right now, it is still looking very bad for Shayna here, Lita.
Yeah, seems very unlikely, especially just because there is a bit of a defeat to her. So I don't know how much she's really going to fight in the veto.
Yeah, I mean, I think she'll fight in the veto. I think she's like, you know, she's here to, she'd love to stick it in their face a little bit, but she has kind of been like, just send me home. Like, so you know, it's rough. I mean, she's in a rough place. Like, yeah. She doesn't really have anybody in the house anymore. And especially, like, these are the people that she just saved. She just chose a side for them and now they're not with her. They chose Todrick and Misha over her. And, that doesn't even make sense for their game that they did that. It's probably feels pretty, pretty personal. And she's not really aware of a lot of the personal things. A lot of them have been said not in her presence, but the general vibe is certainly not great here for Shayna and Geneva.
Yeah, you know, and I think even Shayna kind of mentioned, like, in the DR, like, after, you know, the nominees were mentioned, like, you know, if she's playing in this veto, she knows she's playing for herself, but also for the rest of the game. And, you know, it's not ideal to play Big Brother alone. So I can see why she feels so down and kind of is at the point where she's like, yeah, I probably don't want to be here. Because it's like, even if she wins veto and she's safe, it's like, okay, well, if she doesn't win, you know, HOH next time around, what's going to happen for her in the game? So it's really, I can see how it is so defeating, but I don't want her to give up. I mean, I think she's definitely in a tough spot, but you know, hopefully maybe, you know, the you know, potential comp one could, you know, light a fire in her and, you know, maybe help her rebuild connections between, you know, now and the next head household.
I think the question now is, in terms, because I think most of the audience seems to be on relatively the same page in terms of not rooting for Todrick and being pretty unhappy with this result. But I'm curious about, like, what, let's say this all happens, Shayna goes home. What are people rooting for? And I think this kind of says something about what you like to see, right? Because I've seen some people who are like, now I just want Todrick and Misha to win the next HOH. And I want them to take out Carson next so that he can see the mistake that he made and he'll pay for it. And some people are like, no, we got anything to get them out. I don't care what takes. Get Lamar the win. Get whoever the win. As anybody that would go after them. Where do you two stand on this?
We're all just waiting for Lamar to win the show, I think. Yeah. Is where we're at. So as opposed to Geneva, I am not really a strategy person. So I love or hate the player, not the game, for sure. So once I like somebody better than somebody else, there's no game move from Todrick or Misha that would make me like them more than Carson and and Cynthia, because, like, just appreciating people's games is not really how I watch the show. I like these social games because of the social aspect and having characters that I like and don't like. So I was already a Carson fan going into this. He's my favorite regular Drag Race judge. And I was already very not in on Todrick. So having that behavior sort of reflected back and sort of like, what I already felt about them being sort of confirmed. I would not switch to rooting for Todrick and Misha.
Well, I think it's less rooting for Todrick and Misha, more rooting against, or rooting for Carson to recognize his error.
Sure, but right? Carson's going to see his error no matter
That's
what.
That's very true. That's very true. But yeah, I think people want to see it on the show, right? Because he'll see it after he's out, but people won't be able to see his... People are very, they really love to just like revel. Oh, yes. Oh, he's really realizing. Oh, he thought he was the sheriff.
Would you look at this? There's a new sheriff.
But really, he was just now wow.
Just now wow.
That's it.
If there's one thing the entire human race loves, it's comeuppance.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think for me, so I'd say, like, even though I do love strategy, I also love a lot of players for, like, who they are as people. So if they're awful people, I'm probably still not going to root for them, even though maybe I can acknowledge maybe they are playing a good game. But I still feel that a huge part of the game is social awareness and, you know, the social aspect. And so, like, even like Misha not, you know, going up to the HOH room, I feel like that's partially bad gameplay. But I think, for me, like, I am frustrated with Cynthia and Carson, but I probably still will be rooting for them anyway. You know, I think it would be nice, though, to see maybe like a Lamar Todd would just first maybe to see what, you know, what would happen. I mean, I know they're working with, you know, more working with, I guess, you know, Misha and Todrick, but I don't know. It would just be really, I think, or maybe interesting to see, like, I don't know, maybe even Cynthia win, because, you know, that hasn't happened yet. But I just feel like this, it's kind of got to the point where, like, for me, it's not always about, I guess, you know, having people feel the revenge. I mean, sometimes that's, you know, fun. Like, sometimes, like, when I play games, I'm like, okay, well, if you cross me, then, like, I want you to feel the karma. But, you know, I think it depends. I think I'm still going to root for the same people that I was rooting for. But how about you, Taryn? What are you thinking at this point?
Well, that's the thing. I think part of what has made this whole situation painful for people, or so painful for people, is that in one fell swoop, they kind of lost all of their rooting interest. So people, especially who, like, watch the show for to, like, root for somebody, and, like, that's sort of their primary drive. Like, if you were rooting for Shayna, she's probably leaving. If your backup was rooting for Carson and Cynthia, it's their fault. And so it's like, now it's hard to root for them. And so like, and then like, maybe you've got like Lamar, but it's like how does like, it's hard. It's kind of like, where does that come into play? Right. So I think that like, I think people kind of, as I said, in one fell swoop, they just kind of lost all of the people that they could have been rooting for. And I think that's been rough for them, but.
Who you dislike the less, like the least, you know, in this situation, like, you know, it's like, okay, if it's between this person and this person, well, it's like, okay, well, I prefer this person to win HOH over this person. So it might come down to that. Cause I think sometimes like there have been seasons where I'm like, I don't like who's left. So I'm just rooting for this person. Cause they're slightly more bearable than this other person.
Yeah. The Survivor Worlds Apart effect. As we call it.
Oh, no.
All right. Well, any final thoughts tonight for the episode or for what's happening here in Big Brother? Geneva, any final thoughts?
Final thoughts. Well, you know, I hope that Carson and Cynthia really reflect and think about what was said and the ulterior motives that were coming from Todrick and Misha. But I don't know if that's necessarily going to happen. I hope that Shayna gets a little bit more energized and positive for, you know, the potential of a veto competition and that, you know, she'll be able to be safe or be able to turn around her game. Just also because I'm also once I feel like because she, you know, it was very like intriguing to watch this middle game. It'll be kind of disappointing to see her go. So like I just kind of want to see, you know, what would happen if she was still around, especially considering, you know, there's been this also this tension between her and Cynthia, like who is she really going to work with moving forward if she were to stay? So, yeah, I think it would be intriguing to see how that pans out.
Yeah. Lita, any final thoughts?
No, it was nice to see two people yelling at each other because that's the whole point of Celebrity Big Brother, it seems. So got some more classic reality show vibes with people screaming at each other today. And I'm looking forward to the Paramount Plus reboot of The Nanny, starring Fran Drescher.
Oh, boy. Well, that's what we have for you. But we do have some stuff coming up here on Rob Has a Podcast. If I can figure out how that whole thing, there it is. Tomorrow morning, I will be live to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother Celebrity live feeds. I will let you know, I imagine that Shayna is going to be making some kind of last minute push, whether that's tonight or tomorrow, to try and flip Carson and Cynthia back to her side. I'm sure, like, if she really, you know, thinks back, I'm sure she's got some good dirt on Todrick. And if she saves it up in the right way and she prepares it the right way, I do think there's potentially a chance for her to turn this around. So we will see if anything can happen there tomorrow on the live feed update. And then of course later tomorrow night we will be live after the episode to talk through what goes down in the veto competition. Will Shayna win and save herself? Will she be evicted? Will she have saved herself before and maybe Misha goes, or will she save herself and then even Todd goes? There's a lot of different things that might happen tomorrow night. And then of course there will be an HOH competition after that that we may be able to update you on depending on when they play it. Probably not, but either way we'll talk through tomorrow night's episode on the podcast. And then the night after that, Tuesday night, we will be live with the roundtable to rate these players. And hopefully you made good picks for the stock watch as Chantel joins us to rate the players. And you can give your thoughts in the survey about how you feel the season is going thus far. That survey will be out on Tuesday. So check out the roundtable Tuesday night. Of course, Rob has some Survivor coverage, preseason coverage for 42. He has the Ika Tribe castaway preview with Mike Bloom going through the interviews. Very fun stuff. So make sure you check that out in the run up to Survivor 42. And then The Amazing Race is going on here. Rob, Mike, and Jessica are talking about episode 7, Gently Down the Stream. Look at that. The Amazing Race, interesting one. This is the one that got canceled halfway through, or not halfway through, a couple legs in due to COVID, and then came back, 18 or 19 months later? Wild, wild stuff there.
It's
the
a good race. Season. It's fun.
Yeah, and they brought people back, so.
Look at that. Of course, I've got the Taryn Show going on here. I talked to Nicole Maines, who is Dreamer on Supergirl. Very, very fun to talk to. She has a very fascinating story. And I really enjoyed this one. Make sure you check it out. It's not one that you should miss. I played Sequester with her. I almost did. She had tech issues, but she's very, very fun. Make sure you check out The Taran Show with Nicole Maines. And of course, become a patron so that you can listen to all of the great patron content. The slop for Big Brother, the Australian Survivor stuff that they've got going on over there, the 5 for 5 with Nicole Cesternino. All kinds of great stuff if you become a patron of Rob Has a Podcast. So check all that out. And make sure you hit the subscribe button over on YouTube or follow on Twitch or wherever you're listening or watching or anything like that. You could go to robhasawebsite.com/subscribe and you can get all kinds of different feeds that you want to subscribe to, including you can go to robhasawebsite.com/BBFeed for the Big Brother only feeds that you can subscribe to. So good stuff there. And of course, follow all of the Rob Has a Podcast social medias, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and I think that one is TikTok. I'm up on the lingo.
Got it.
The icons. We just did 12 hours of Instagram lives over on the RHAP Grams Instagram account. I went on with Melissa and we chatted for an hour. It was very fun. We had a good time. So it's saved on the page too. So if you go to RHAP Grams, you can go and watch that if you want. Check it out. It's a good time. It's a good thing. And that's about what we have for the plugs there. Of course, you can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taran or on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taran Armstrong. I'll be watching these episodes live with all of you over on Twitch. And I'm also doing the Raised by Wolves podcast for Kosher Recaps. You want to check that out. Lots of theorizing going on. Over on YouTube, Taran's Quest and the Taran Show happening as well. So lots of stuff for you to check out here. Geneva, what are you up to?
Yeah, so I actually have a major podcasting update, Taran, that I want to announce on this recap. I mentioned it briefly on that Instagram Live anniversary special. So some people know that exactly a year ago tomorrow, Sasha Joseph, Sarah Carradine, and Kirsten McInnes, and I decided to create The Dark Walk. It's a 4-person podcast show talking about a popular Regency era romance and hit Netflix show. So we shared a 2-part podcast series on the first season on post show recaps in the Patreon feed. So I'm pleased to announce that we will be talking about season 1 and 2 of the Shondaland show, Bridgerton, on post-show recaps. And it'll be in the main feed. We'll plan to start releasing episode recaps of season 1 starting the last week of February. And we'll release season 2 recaps starting in late March. You can also follow me on Twitter at PeaceLoveJen, where I will tweet out updates about the Bridgerton podcast. And I'll tweet my thoughts about other reality TV, including Celebrity Big Brother, Survivor Australia, Bachelor, Joe Millionaire, Love is Blind 2, Abbott Elementary, etc. And if you aren't a patron of Post Show Recaps, you can also check out that exclusive. It's unlocked, so you can listen to it for free. You can also support Silent Podcasts. Some rap podcasters are over there, and we have a lot of fun content there. So, yeah, thanks for having me, and it was fun to talk about Celebrity Big Brother with you guys.
Very cool. Lita, what do you got going on?
Yeah, I also have a 10-minute PowerPoint prepared, so I hope I have screen sharing options. Bridgerton, just in time for Valentine's Day. That's exciting. It's a hot show, which, by the way, it's funny that Rob's going to be on tomorrow. He's too busy tonight, but not on Valentine's Day for these. So,
like it's harder to eat kale.
Yeah,
you're busy with Valentine's.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Lita Tweeted. You can follow me on Instagram at Lita Grammed. I subscribe to BoJack Horse Pod. I was on that recently. Subscribe to Lonely Boys, Hoppy Boys. That's what I've been doing lately. I think that's it. Happy Valentine's Day. Eat some junk food.
Is that a Valentine's Day thing? Junk food?
Yeah.
I guess chocolates.
Eat some chocolate.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's a day to like be nice to yourself, I think.
Yeah. Like, yeah. You know what? I did see a heart-shaped pizza.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a great, it's a great thing.
Yeah, one of my friends actually made like a homemade heart-shaped pizza yesterday at this event that we were at. So it was pretty good.
Yeah. All right. Wow. Yes. Happy Valentine's Day. I hope you all have a good one there tomorrow. Thank you all so much for joining us here tonight. I hope you had a good time with us, even though Rob was busy with his kale. But we had fun, I think, with all of you. So thank you so much for joining us. And we will see all of you next time.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.